Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, in our examination of the doctrine of Christian unity, we have come to realize that in order to exercise Christian unity properly, we have to know what is bottom line essential Christianity. We are commanded to recognize our unity with all born-again believers. We are forbidden to express Christian unity with those who are not true believers. We must be unified with the body of Christ, with the people of God. We must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And yet we recognize that only God can see the heart, so how do we know who is a believer and who is not a true believer? And we don't have to make that judgment. But what we must do is make judgments based upon doctrine and behavior. There is bottom line doctrine and there is bottom line behavior. Bottom line doctrine has to do with the inspiration and authority of the Bible and the doctrine of Christ. And we've spent quite a bit of time in 2 John verses 9 and 10 talking about the doctrine of Christ and the clear instructions there that if someone come unto you and bring not the doctrine of Christ, you are not to encourage and help and be in partnership with him. You are not to be yoked together with him in the work of the gospel, not even in a rather tenuous way, rather secondary way. You're not even to bid him Godspeed. You're not to encourage him in any way, because he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That is the wrong kind of so-called Christian unity. That is an unequal yoke. That is giving encouragement and comfort to the enemy, to those who are undermining and attacking the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there is bottom line doctrine, and it has to do with the person and work of Jesus Christ. It has to do with who Christ is, and it has to do with the essential doctrine of the gospel, the basic understanding of the gospel of grace. And beyond that, you cannot go. Beyond that, you cannot include someone in your expression of Christianity. You cannot identify them as a Christian. You cannot acknowledge them as a Christian. You cannot encourage them in their Christian profession or in their so-called Christian service because they don't meet the biblical qualifications of Christian. They do not believe and propagate the doctrine of Christ. But in addition to bottom line Christian doctrine, there is also bottom line Christian behavior, bottom line Christian practice. And if people claim to be Christians, but they fall below that bottom line practice, you also may not include them in your recognition of Christianity. You cannot consider them to be your brother in Christ. You cannot extend to them the hand of Christian fellowship. And where do we find teaching like this? Well, let me call your attention to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The entire chapter talks about a man, member of the Corinthian church, who was living in immorality. And here's what he says beginning in verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Now let me stop there. We can go on to verses 12 and 13, but let me stop there and let's talk about what Paul is saying. He is writing now to the Corinthian church, scolding them for their allowing this person to continue to be considered a member of their congregation, though he is living in immorality. And Paul says, I previously wrote to you not to company with fornicators. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to keep company with people who are living in sexual immorality. That's what fornication is. In Bible usage, fornication is the broad term. It includes what we generally call fornication today, as well as adultery and any kind of sexual immorality. It's a broad term. And he said, don't keep company with fornicators. And yet he goes on in verse 10 to qualify very, very carefully and precisely what he means by that. When he said, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. What does that mean? Well, he said, I'm not saying don't have anything to do with immoral people who make no profession of Christianity. That's fine. You can have a relationship with them. You can have friendship with them. Your friendship with them will not be confused as endorsing their Christian profession because they make no Christian profession. So I'm not concerned about that, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. And he goes on to mention other sins that would disqualify a person from a valid Christian profession. The one he's dealing with in chapter 5 is fornication, but he makes it clear that's not the only thing here. So he says, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then, he said, you must needs go out of the world. If you're not going to have anything to do with any fornicator, any covetous person, any extortioner, any idolater, then you're going to have to isolate yourself from the world altogether. You're going to have to go out of the world. You're going to have to go to heaven to have that kind of separation, or you're going to have to become a hermit or something to have that kind of separation. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You can have normal contact with fornicators and extortioners and idolaters as long as they don't make a Christian profession. But if they do, and they're living like this, and they will not be corrected, then you must cut yourself off from them. That's what he's saying. He goes on in verse 11 to say, but now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. If any man is called a brother, or one of the translations puts, if any man be a so-called brother. If he calls himself a Christian, if he maintains a Christian profession and insists upon that, and yet he is living in immorality, he's a fornicator, or he is an idolater, he claims to be a Christian, but he's worshiping at the idol's temple, or a railer, he claims to be a Christian, but he has this habit of cussing people out, railing at them in abusive language, and he won't stop that. Or a drunkard, he claims to be a Christian, but he is living a drunken lifestyle. He's known to be a drunkard. He is seen in public in a drunken fashion, in a drunken state. He will not acknowledge, he will not repent, he will not stop it. Or he's an extortioner. He's known to be somebody who scams people out of money, and he's not ashamed of that. He won't confess that. He won't acknowledge that. He won't correct that. And yet he calls himself a Christian. What do? Cut yourself off from him. Because he has stepped outside the bounds of bottom line, essential Christian behavior. You see, in order to know how to experience and involve oneself in proper expressions of Christian unity, we have to know who to be unified with and who not to be unified with, who to call our Christian brother and to treat accordingly, and who not to call our Christian brother and to treat accordingly. Now, if somebody who is a so-called Christian is living like this, of course, he ought to be confronted. He ought to be made accountable. He ought to be called to repent and to forsake his wrong lifestyle. And if he'll do that, if he'll say, I have sinned, I am wrong, I confess it, I've confessed it to God, I now confess it before the church, I will not live this way any longer, I submit myself to the authority of the church, hold me accountable, I will no longer be a fornicator, I will no longer be a drunkard, I will no longer be an extortioner, I'm stopping this, I'm making things right, well then of course he's a repentant brother, and you receive him, you forgive him, and you receive him. You continue to extend the hand of Christian fellowship to him. But if he will not acknowledge his sin and will not stop his sin, but insists upon calling himself a Christian, the other thing he can do, if he's going to continue to live this way, is he can publicly renounce his Christian profession. He can go before the church or write a letter to the church and say, I have come to the conclusion that I am not a true Christian. I have not been born again. That's why I can't seem to find genuine repentance and victory over my lifestyle. I am enslaved to sin. I'm addicted to sin. I can't stop it. Please pray for me. I need to be saved. I have not been born again, evidently. That's clear to me now. Please pray for me. I am not a Christian at all. I hereby resign my membership from the church. I make no claim to Christianity. I recognize I'm a lost man. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Well, if you'll make that kind of a public statement, then what do? Well, then you treat him as an unbeliever, and you don't cut yourself off from him. That's back to verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But if any man is called a brother, and he be these things, and he won't stop his sinning, and he won't renounce his Christian profession, then what are other Christians supposed to do? What must they do? Well, they must cut themselves off from him. They must cut themselves off from all normal contact with him. Not to eat with him. That would involve certainly the Lord's table, but also even social contact. It's clear from what Paul is saying here. You cut yourself off from him in every way. You don't even have the kind of contact with him that you would have in normal everyday affairs with an unbeliever. Unbelievers certainly wouldn't be invited to the Lord's table, but you might eat with an unbeliever. You might have social contact with an unbeliever, but you can't even eat with a so-called brother who's guilty of these things. In other words, you've got to make him ashamed. You've got to forcefully mark him out as someone who does not deserve the title Christian, and you've got to enforce that. Now, this concept is so foreign to our thinking today that we don't even know how to begin. But here's where we must begin. Paul shows us the way. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.